If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and just like Tim on Playing Survivor, I'm the sexiest dad ever to do this.
I'll give you props for that, yes.
Yes. And I do want to say, I know Rob made a similar joke in his intro to the post-game recap, but I already had my notes down before that, and besides, he said he was not the sexiest dad to do this. So the title was still available.
Oh, I see. But so you just gave it to yourself?
Yes. I mean, Tim did. Why can't I?
Okay. I'm just checking. Yeah. I just want to know if there was like a pool of individuals involved in this decision or if it was just David.
There was a pool of one.
All right. Well, sexiest podcasting dad, let's go. What are we talking about today?
Well, I should probably introduce you since, I kind of left that part out while, you know, admiring myself. And so, yes, with me, as always, is my co-host, who is in mourning because she lost her winner pick, Jessica Lewis.
Yes, I wore a lot of black and I wore a sweater that has weirdly unhappy, happy faces at the same time. So I can be very proud of my girl Soda because I think there was a good reason why they took her out. I think I had a really strong winner pick. But as Rob did say, this game is not fun. And that sometimes you're just too good to play this game. And she was too good to play this game.
Well, you're giving it away already. Luckily, we have two people, so you don't have to. You know,
there's a lot to talk about.
I'm just saying, there is.
If you're gonna come at me with my winner pick, I apologize.
I'm not coming at you. I'm just announcing so people know.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You know. Yes. So
I did tell her I was sorry at the start when I chose her and that she would not be winning because I did. And there we are, the butterfly effect continues.
The butterfly effect, except remember, she went into the game deathly afraid of butterflies.
She did.
But she said in one of her interviews that through her experience on Survivor, she is no longer afraid of butterflies.
And, you know, I was curious if that was going to happen to her. And we might have talked about this because there are so many butterflies out there. I was worried for her, but she had an experience. She touched a butterfly and now she is completely at peace with the butterfly. So except, I love that for her.
Except the reverse butterfly that you sent charging at her. Yes.
I'm sorry, Soda.
Yes. Now, you wore black in her honor. I wore something else in her honor, which you can only partially see. So as an Illinoisan, I have to emphasize, it's called pop, not soda. And so we'll call Tim Pop. For this one, since he's, you know, the dad and Soda. So we've got both of them on one shirt.
Perfect. So, or we could just call Tim.
We could. That would probably make it easier.
That would make it easier.
Hold on. Let me quickly change all my notes here to, you know, get rid of Pop. All right. Well, whether we have one player to discuss or two, whether their name is Tim or Pop or Soda or Pop, we still follow our usual path of comparing their games to my rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since, using all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw on TV, interviews, social media, and secret scenes. The newest version of the rules can, of course, be found at robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed and click on the link bubble for the Survivor rules. But before we address how these two did in terms of the rules, we always have some other things to discuss from the episode. We'll keep it relatively short this time since we have two players to discuss. But I do think we have to return to a topic that we discussed a lot last week, and her name is Venus. we of course did, like I said, talk about her last week, but she continued down a similar path this week, not on Twitter. Her tweets mysteriously disappeared and she didn't say nearly as much, but in the game, she started right away immediately after the vote when she was certain that Soda cast the vote for her, saying that's the only thing that could possibly make sense. And also, I'm not stupid. So she was lucky that Charlie told her it was him. But then, as we saw on Twitter last week, before it disappeared and discussed, she still didn't understand why Charlie had voted for her. And in the show, his revelation didn't seem to impact her and make her realize that, you know, maybe she's not always right. And she needs to remember that other people have different perspectives. She just kind of seemed to shrug it off and continue playing the same way.
Well, and I will say that there is something to be said about playing from the position she is in. And we might have talked about this. James might have actually referenced this last week, where when you're playing from the bottom and mm-hmm. he's like, I don't know what that feels like.
Right.
I kind of know what that feels like. And it puts you in a very difficult spot because right. you just feel like everyone is against you and you have nowhere to turn. And I feel like her approach is, well, she feels like she has nowhere to turn, but who cares? She's just going to keep going and she's just going to keep pushing forward and trying to make things happen because she doesn't want it to stop her from playing the game. So I can certainly appreciate her desire to want to still go out there and try. But I did find it rather amusing that it was that whole process where she thought it was Soda and mm-hmm. then Charlie was like, no, it was me. And then Charlie got yelled at. And this it was very interesting Survivor gameplay in that moment, because everyone was just announcing everything in front of everyone instead of like trying to determine what happened on the side or in private. No, it was like everyone's going to know exactly yeah. what's going on. We're all going to talk yeah. about it right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned that she wants to, and, you know, at some point we'll have the discussion of why she lost. I'll tell you when I think that will be in a little while. But, you know, she could alter, you know, if you're on the bottom, you could alter what you're doing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You know, but she doesn't seem to want to do that. And she also said, as the episode continued, I want to play with fire. I want to make big moves. I want to make a name for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds very similar to some of her tweets last week, complaining that the move against Mariah was boring. And so I'll reiterate what I said last week. The goal of the game of Survivor is not to make exciting moves. And mm-hmm. I'll add on, it's not to make big moves. It's not to make a name for yourself.
Right.
It's to win. Now, Jeff noted in the On Fire podcast that the way Venus is acting makes more sense when you know her backstory. She immigrated from Iran. There are lots of issues, obviously, with women's rights in Iran, and she's an mm-hmm. activist for that cause. And she calls BS when she sees it. She has also said that Persian women are badasses, but they aren't represented on TV enough, which is one reason she wanted to be on Survivor. As we've said with other situations of players who come in with certain personalities or backgrounds, or they want to make a point, all of that is great.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is important.
Yes.
But this is still Survivor and people are playing a game. So I support her activism. I support calling BS when you see it in everyday life. But I support my rules in Survivor more.
And I understand that entirely. I do think that there is something to be said about her game being so front and center mm-hmm. that then what did we see happen after the vote? She got all the credit from the person that was walking out the door. And I think that's because of the game she's playing is very apparent. And we heard Liz actually talk about, we all know the game that she's playing.
Right.
So she is someone who, if she makes it to the end, everyone's going to know what she did because everyone's going to know what she did, as opposed to someone who is working more behind the scenes and trying to make things happen and cause votes and get people to work with them in the shadows, that's the type of person that goes to tribal and has to explain what they've done mm-hmm. if they're in the final tribal council. And so it is, it's a fascinating thing to watch, but I do think that it is also not helpful for her if everyone knows your game and everyone knows what you're doing. And if they aren't impressed with it, then it's not going to impress them once you get to the final three.
Yes.
So exactly. It's this weird balance that you have to be able to strike. Like if you want to play a big game and you want to make big moves, they have to be things that people will respect, but also continue to credit you with, because I think at some point it will come out that this was not necessarily her,
mm-hmm.
her idea. It was someone else's idea. And then you end up dealing with, you know, kind of like, oh, it wasn't actually you. That was me. If Tevin is on the jury, I think he's certainly going to be telling everybody that. So, you know, it's just something, it's just, you have to find that balance and it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she, and again, I'll talk about this in a little while, but if she makes it to the final three and explains what her moves were, people are going to be like, no, they weren't. And they're just going to discount her immediately. But I mean, they're discounting her now. And, you know, we saw more of the way she was acting with other players this week. And we aren't the only people seeing this, because the other players are as well. For example, Maria said Venus was pretty oblivious and wasn't reading the room. And even Jeff said something similar in noting, if you're rubbing someone the wrong way, you need to step back and figure it out, even if you think it's their problem, because it becomes your problem. Mm-hmm. And he said, quote, it requires deep self-reflection. Here's the thing. I don't think Venus has shown an ability for deep self-reflection in the game.
Yeah. And maybe it's something that will come to her. Maybe it will come to her too late. But it is, she's taking an interesting approach. And I do think that it's more of a, she feels like she has to, because she's where she's fallen in the game. And so she feels like she needs to do more.
I don't think it is that she feels like she has to, because like Soda told Gordon Holmes that there were issues with how Venus approached people earlier. And she tried to tell her that as well, but it didn't go anywhere. And we saw Maria being too nice, in my opinion, by telling Venus that she thought, what she thought about how Venus was behaving and being pushed.
Right, and that's fair.
You know, and then, you know, Venus misread what Maria said. And instead of just listening to her and considering it, again, that whole self-reflection thing, she believed it meant Maria was being defensive. And we all know people like that. You say one thing to them and immediately they deflect it back onto you. Now, I have seen some people on Twitter say that they felt Maria was talking down to Venus. I did not see it that way. Maybe it's an age thing. The people that I knew their ages were younger than me, you know, but I don't know. I think she was just trying to be nice and say, like, hey, you're really approaching this wrong. And Venus just totally took it the wrong way, which goes along with what Jeff said also.
Yeah. No, I think all of that, I think it all makes sense. And it will be very interesting to see how this all plays out as the season progresses.
Yeah. Now, on the RHAP postgame podcast, Caleb compared Venus to an early Emily, whom, of course, he had talked to about the way she was acting last season. Mm-hmm. But to me, the problem with that is when he spoke to Emily, she listened and she changed. When Maria spoke to Venus, she acted like Maria was the one with the problem, not her.
But I also feel like there's a little bit of a difference there, too, because when Caleb talked to Emily, it wasn't just about how Emily needed to change. He also like took her under his wing to work with her as well, you know? Yeah. So it was to his benefit to have that conversation. Whereas I think Maria was kind of put in a position where Venus was talking at her in a way about how the game should be played. And so it wasn't like Maria was going to Venus and going, listen, I want to help you. I want to work with you. We can do this, but you need to change X, Y, and Z. And that's not the way the conversation was. Yeah, so I can see the similarity for certain, But there is a difference when the messenger is Caleb versus Maria, because Caleb had a plan. He had a reason why he was doing what he was doing, whereas Maria was just kind of, I have to respond to this right now and try to explain why I said what I said, and then deal with the consequences of the responses that come with the questions I'm being asked. So
yeah,
different situations for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in a related vein, I like that we saw Tevin explain how he and Maria know there's another game being played with another alliance that others aren't aware of. Because a big topic of our discussions on last week's podcast with James was different perspectives. And this is a perfect example. Other people, like Venus, just don't know about this. So they don't understand why certain decisions are made.
Right, right.
You know, now, I mentioned I will, you know, give my thoughts on Venus going forward. I will say, I am now on board with Venus being a zero vote finalist. I know I'm not the first to say it. I thought she'd get the boot this episode. But now that she hasn't, I have reevaluated. It would explain why she still seems to have misconceptions about what happened in the game. You know, she didn't spend time in Ponderosa with the other jurors finding out information. You know, I even tweeted that I don't think Venus ever finds out the truth in the game, and then clarified that it was based on what she was saying on Twitter. And for what it's worth, Liz liked both of those tweets. Make of that what you will.
Oh, billionaire Liz.
Billionaire. Trillionaire. I heard it was trillionaire.
Now it's trillionaire? Wow. Yeah, why not? She is doing great.
Lots of emails.
I love this for her.
All right. Well, there was just one big topic there with multiple things, but I think an important topic. Did you have anything else before we move on?
No, we definitely need to get going on this because we have two people to speak about, and it's going to take us that much longer.
Yes. Well, okay. Before we do, we, of course, have to mention that the rules we're about to discuss come in a shorter and much more colorful version in poster form.
They do.
So go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed, scroll down to the poster and click on it and then order it. And then it will be sent to you.
And hopefully it will not be sent in this rain. I received a package today that FedEx decided to just leave in the rain.
Oh, nice.
And it was legal documents and they are saturated.
Hmm.
Not
great. That make them now illegal documents?
You're funny. Yes, so I had to request a new copy because these cannot be filed in any office.
They go electronic.
I need to actually sign and notarize these documents.
Oh, come on, you can get them electronically signed.
Anywho.
Save trees. So anyway, in addition to the poster itself, you can scroll down to the poster on a T-shirt or the checklist on a T-shirt, and of course, we hope that those won't be shipped, you know, and arrive in the rain, but at least they won't be destroyed if they are, because they're shirts and you throw them in the wash anyway.
That's fair.
So again, that's robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed. All right. Well, Tim and Soda played very different games, but were there any similarities in the reasons they both went out at the same time? They both accidentally put targets on themselves in different ways. Soda's had been brewing for a while Tim's was more a product of his actions during the tribe split. What could each of them have done differently? It's time to figure out why Tim and Soda lost. The first and most important rule is, of course, the scheme and plot. Both players we lost knew that, but had different skill levels in doing it properly. Starting with Tim, I would say he wasn't great at it. He had some ideas, but it didn't seem like he could put them into action very well. He even said in interviews that when he'd been watching the show back, nobody was rocking with him. But I feel like he has to own a big chunk of the blame for that. You know, going back to Sega, sure, he was tight with Ben and trusted Maria. But we heard previously from Jem and Mariah that he wouldn't talk real strategy with them. And I know he didn't trust the women as a whole from the beginning, but he needed to get past that and try to make better inroads. They had all that time. Instead, he came to the merge with really just one Sega ally.
Yeah, and I do feel like when we talked about Tim pregame, we, if I recall correctly, were a little concerned with mm-hmm. what his actual game was going to look like, because yep. he didn't really seem to have a structure. And we have talked about how coming in with too much of a plan is not a great idea, but you need to have some type of a base that you want to utilize when you play this game. And Tim seemed kind of, whatever, a little bit. But I was intrigued. I was very intrigued with him because I thought he seems to have a great personality. So maybe that'll work for him out there. And I just think that because he has that more kind of laid back personality, he's probably someone who just people gravitate towards mm-hmm. normally in life. And so maybe he thought that this would be the same type of game that people would just naturally gravitate towards him. But a Survivor, and you can be really likable in the real world, but when you're playing the game, you really have to take those additional steps to talk to everyone and really try to strategize with them whether or not you want to play the game, so you can know where their head is at, if you want to play the game with them, I should say. Yeah. So I do think that,
or in some cases, whether or not you want to play the game, because that's yes. kind of part of the problem too.
Yes, then that's a fair point for sure.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but
oh no, that's okay. I'm good.
But yeah, I think you know, you describe it perfectly, being laid back. I mean, we saw him like, it's too early to make alliances. It's too mm-hmm. early to commit to anything. No, it's not. No, you're way right. behind. You're yes. way behind, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And you need to do it before you even get on the boat.
Yeah. And you know, I mentioned he came into the merge with one ally. He could have had five additional ones at the merge because he was offered a spot at in the plus one alliance, which mm-hmm. you were amused because I called it the Journey 6 alliance last week. And yes. but now the name seems to have solidified as the plus one alliance. So I'll switch to that. But he even accepted the offer, but then he didn't act on it. He didn't tell Maria about it before Mergatory. Mm-hmm. And he told Rob he wasn't into it, adding in various interviews that having 6 out of 13 players wouldn't work. Yep, but the thing is, it would work if the 6 played it right by using other people, which was kind of the idea. He right. just decided not to do that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things he said, too, in his pregame, that I actually thought was interesting, mm-hmm. is he said, I don't want to be a wagon. And I thought right. that was interesting. And so maybe that was kind of the approach he was taking, where like, I'm not going to hitch myself to that over there. I want to go in this direction, because I do think it was fascinating, because you brought up the with the plus one mm-hmm. that he did not drop Ben's name when he went to on the journey, because he didn't. Right. He's like, I wasn't asked who my number one was. I was asked who I trusted. And so I said I trusted Maria. So he threw Maria out there without that actually being who he wanted as his plus one, which probably backfired on him, really, yeah. because then they were going after Ben. And so it put him in a really tough spot, because he wanted Ben and not necessarily Maria, but he still trusted Maria. So I think it was an interesting decision for him to make, because he didn't want to express who mm-hmm. his number one ally was. But at the same time, I think it hurt him in the long run, because he wasn't committing with that individual who he did actually have that solid alliance with.
And he also wasn't committing to the plus one alliance.
Right.
You know, I mean, like you said, I can understand why he didn't want to tell the truth, but it's a bad way to start an alliance.
Yeah.
Even an alliance you don't necessarily believe in, because he should have known there would be fact checking going on.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he said in interviews that he was upset Q went to Maria before talking to him again. And he even said to Mike Bloom, why do you have to confirm it yourself? Because this is Survivor and you can't just take someone at their word.
Right.
And indeed, he was lying to them. Mm-hmm. You know, he's upset that they had to go confirm and they fact checked his lie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, that's why they did it. Yeah, you know. But the thing is, he should have already told her. No matter what, he should have told her. Even if he wanted to tell her, hey, look, they wanted an alliance. I gave them your name. Be prepared for this. But I don't really believe right. in it. I'm with you. I'm with Sega 100%. But they needed something. Prepare her. Tell her something.
Well, he did have a conversation with her about it.
Afterwards.
Right. But she didn't really appreciate the fact that
right.
he threw her name out there.
Yeah. I mean, he was acting like if he just ignored this alliance, it would go away. But that's not how it works. He agreed to do something, which he should. When someone asks if you want to be in the alliance, you say yes.
Yes.
You know, I just finally watched Ghostbusters Afterlife, and they have that in there, too. So, you know, and this time he says yes. Spoiler alert. I mean, the movie's been out 3 years. But, you know, but then he didn't follow up on it. And then he was upset when others did. And in addition, he was clearly surprised that other people took it seriously. He seemed to think that the agreement meant nothing and just presumed that Q, the guy who proposed the alliance, agreed with him on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just feel like it was one of those situations where maybe he was not, maybe this goes back to the, I don't really have a base, a set plan coming in to play the game, and understanding how significant having multiple alliances are as opposed to just one alliance.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, following up on the whole, you know, base of playing the game, he, of course, wanted Hunter gone as the biggest physical threat.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, he was trying to save his friend and ally, Ben. But he had a problem with a topic we've been discussing a lot lately, which is perspective. He did not seem to consider the perspective of other people, like Q, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Tim assume Q wanted to knock out the biggest physical threat, which would potentially make Q the biggest physical threat?
Right, right, right.
That is not a path you want to start if you're Q. And I mean, we talked about this last week. We talked about it from a slightly different, you know, of perspective of the weakest players early in the game.
Yes.
You know, if you're the second weakest player, you shouldn't say, let's take out the weakest player.
Right.
Same thing from the opposite side, because we're post-merge. And yeah, and that's even aside from everything about Q and Hunter's trust that we already discussed. As a survivor player, you need to think about other people's points of views. We've been talking about this earlier today and last week when it came to Venus, but Tim needed to also.
Well, and not for nothing, but Hunter was part of the six.
Yeah.
So when you start saying, well, let's go after Hunter, immediately everyone's going to be questioning who is in that six with you, like you.
Yeah.
Wait a second. We're supposed to all be in a group together. Like, we're supposed to be in an alliance, and you're throwing him under the bus already. And we just got here, basically. Like, we just started. Yeah. So I think that that certainly made a lot of eyes look in his direction, because he was so willing to forget about what was essentially, I would almost say, a newly formed alliance, because there was the plan, but they had just finally come together. So now it's the opportunity to use this in the way that they all intended to use it. And instead, he wants to target one of the six.
Yeah. And he said a couple times, it's not about the alliance, you know, as he was focusing on Hunter as a threat and the Nami. But the thing is, it should almost always be about the alliance above all those other factors. I mean, at least always, except when it's about like you versus the alliance, because, you know, some people will be like, oh, we have to move the alliance forward and do something that hurts themselves. That's not the case here. Helping the alliance would help him. He just couldn't see that. And, you know, he was right to say in tribal council that it's an individual game. But you need your alliance at this point.
Yes.
And, you know, since I mentioned earlier how Tim pointed out he didn't think an alliance of six could control 13 players, I don't know what he was thinking the math was on an alliance of just him and Ben accomplishing that.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So that was a lot about Tim.
It was.
Switching to Soda. We have someone who did try to see things through different perspectives when it came to her strategy. Although at the end, she obviously wasn't fully successful. Early in the game, she was very close to Venus and separately also close to Tevin and Hunter. And she tried to bridge that gap between them, but it just never worked. And instead, it made Tevin and Hunter lose trust in her. We saw on the show and we heard from her in interviews that she tried to distance herself from Venus, but that wasn't working either, in part because Venus kept approaching her. Still, she thought by the time this tribal council came that she had patched things up with Tevin and they were good to go far in the game. And if Tevin had agreed, she would indeed have been in a good spot.
Yes, and I do think that this is an interesting dynamic that we see happening, where we just talked about why would Q want to go after Hunter, because then he's essentially going to be seen as the next strongest person. Now we have a situation where we've got Soda and Tevin, who are both big personalities, mm-hmm. and they're both people that are social butterflies and who are making connections. And it was frustrating Tevin to have somebody like Soda who was kind of stepping on his toes in that regard. And I'm curious if it might have been too soon for him to do this, because even if he wants to be the center and wants people to come to him, he's now taken Soda out of the mix, who he could potentially have utilized the same way Q wants to use Hunter to hide behind a little bit and to deflect some of the attention off of himself. Because I do feel like Soda was doing a really great job making those connections and strategizing with each player in the mm-hmm. way that they needed to be strategized with. She would switch things up enough so that way, like, I know how I need to deal with Venus, but I also know how Tevin is not interested right. in Venus. So I need, she kept calling herself Switzerland, which I thought was very interesting, because she was like, I just need to be neutral because I need to work with all of these people mm-hmm. and I can't show the emotion that I would like to show because I need to make all of this come together and all of this work. So I do have a lot of respect for that, but I'm thinking your boy Tevin might have made a mistake.
Well, we can discuss that in Appendix A if you want. I it's iffy. But what you said about her making all these different alliances, and how they handled it, leads us directly into the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. Because to continue with Soda, the problem was the way Tevin saw things, which mm-hmm. was that she was too close to Venus and too good at making those other allies.
Right.
And as she said in her interviews, the seeds had already been planted in his head, and we saw confessionals of him talking about being worried. And this is, a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when she was telling us on the show about how she checked in with everyone, Tevin was telling us, she's playing the game a little too hard for me.
Right.
He thought that she could be playing him like she was playing everyone else. And, in this episode, we saw it again. I think Soda accidentally hurt her own cause because she was telling Tevin, I have Charlie really tight. Yeah, that's not what Tevin wanted to hear in that moment.
But he's also got Hunter, so he should have appreciated the fact that she's bringing someone along.
He doesn't appreciate it. He has Hunter.
I know, but that's...
But
you had... Then that's four, and then
he has six.
I know, but it's like, listen, you have all of these connections that are just going to help carry you through. I don't think Soda was the right choice.
Again, we'll get to that, but I just, from his point of view, he has his six. He doesn't need her. He had been planning on getting rid of her before the plus one alliance was even a thing.
They were discussing her way back at the beginning when they were like starting to become concerned, because I do think there is something to be said about someone like Soda with the personality that she has mm-hmm. where she's playing a hard game, but it doesn't appear to be a hard game. She's not coming at people like Venus is. She's ingratiating herself to people. And that's a very delicate thing to maneuver in a game like this. And she was very good at it. But then she also knew when to put her foot down and be strong mm-hmm. and tell someone, telling Venus, no, this is not what we're doing. But doing it in a way that, again, shifted and changed depending on the conversation and what was happening and who she was speaking to. So I do think that if Tevin and she hadn't have butted heads because Tevin was like, that's what I'm doing, I don't need her to be doing that too, that was a concern for Tevin. And so she, I think, was trying to not play her hand too strong, but she just couldn't help it with the personality that she had.
Yeah. And from his point of view, she was making too many bonds, and, mm-hmm. Caleb was on the RHAP post-game podcast. And, I mentioned that earlier and began the podcast by asking why Tevin wanted Soda out so bad. Well, we know the answer. But the thing is, we no soda felt close to him. Tevin did not know that himself.
Right, right.
You know, he said a couple of times he did not know where their relationship stood compared to her relationship with other people. And so that's where, you know, this is a game of incomplete information. You can only act on the information you have, which right. in this case was a lack of information that made him suspicious about her being tight with too many people. I mean, you know that. You went through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were told by Ken, hey, these people are coming after you. And you were like, no, they're not.
Right.
And because based on the information you had,
mm-hmm.
you didn't think they were. Based right. on the information we had watching, we knew they were. And right. so that's, you know, the situation we have here where we're watching this and going, well, come on, Tevin, you know, Soda's with you.
Right.
But in Tevin's mind, he doesn't know that.
Yes. And this is what makes the playing of Survivor and the watching of Survivor mm-hmm. two very different things, because you are not privy to all of the information when you're on the island. You want to be, but you're not. Whereas the viewers are getting both sides most of the time.
Yeah.
I will agree with Soda that things get left out of the edit.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously. You know. Yes. Yeah. Now, there were other contributing factors. Randon told Mike Bloom a few weeks ago that he had planted seeds with Tevin about Soda not being trustworthy and needing to get rid of her. And Hunter said in his mid-season interview with Dalton Ross that Soda spent a lot of time going between Randon and Venus, having talks with both of them, and then coming back to report on what they were thinking. Quote, however, eventually it got to the point that we weren't sure if she was with us or with them. Mm-hmm. The shelter trio became Tevin, Liz, and I. And that was Hunter speaking. And he said this alliance developed after Soda started going off a lot with Randon and Venus. And yeah, you know, we already discussed she was seen as being too close to Venus. The two of them going off to the well together after that vote or after the discussion of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Brought that back to Tevin again. We saw him griping about it, like, oh, there they go again, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that was the tea.
Yeah. So yeah, that's where we are with Soda. Switching back to Tim, he also had some issues in this rule. I mean, we discussed that he didn't scheme and plot effectively enough, but he also made some mistakes that made it look like he was doing too much and mm-hmm. not doing a great job of keeping it secret. As Q said, he wants to have the plus one alliance and the Seagull alliance and the sub alliance with Ben. He isn't playing the Q game. Now, of course, I wouldn't expect Tim or anyone else to play the Q game, but mm-hmm. he needed to at least pretend he was on board with it. The funny thing is, Tim didn't want the plus one alliance, just the Seagull and Ben alliances. But, you know, as we said, he'd agreed to it and he didn't see things from Q's point of view. He thought he was leading the charge and just didn't recognize that the only thing he was actually accomplishing was painting a target on himself.
Yes. And he was also the one that seemed the most against providing a name when they were at
absolutely.
The little, I guess, mm-hmm. merge feast or whatever you want to call it, which also is not going to bode well when people are asking you pointed questions. And yeah. I can understand him saying, why should I have to give a name? Why should I have to put in, you mm-hmm. know, say any name? Because they just want to get rid of these people. So why should I help them with that? Totally get that. But it's also Survivor. And you have to figure out how to maneuver through those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't come up with a name, what happens? Well, then you become the topic of discussion, right?
Yep. Yeah. So we can move on to the third rule, which tells players to be flexible. Based on the discussion that we just had, I'm sure you think that Tim was super flexible, right?
Oh, so much. Yeah, no, I don't think Tim was doing well with this particular rule. He was pretty set in his ways, wanting to, I don't know, like, what he was a pop, right? He was talking about being a dad. I don't know if maybe that was why he was so set in his ways. But yes, he definitely was not willing to shift. He was willing to say the right things when he needed to in certain circumstances, like when the six was offered up to him. But then it was like, all right, that didn't mean anything. I'm done. I don't need to do anything more with that. So yes, I do not think Tim did well here.
Yeah, he was clearly very inflexible. He wanted Hunter gone, and he did not seem willing to bend at all on that point. He even told Dalton Ross, in my eyes, I thought Hunter was the biggest threat. And that was the only way I saw it. That was the only way I thought the vote should go. Yeah, it was the numbers game that people play, but it was also who's a threat. And that's how you get people out. Well, they got somebody out. It just wasn't Hunter.
Got him.
And, and on the show, we saw he could not get away from the whole, quote, Hunter is Nami and, quote, Hunter is a threat thing, while ignoring that he was supposed to be in an alliance with Hunter, like you mentioned earlier.
Right. Right.
He kept saying things like, you know, I mentioned this once. It's not about the alliance. Hunter's a beast in challenges. But as we discussed in the first two rules, that's just wrong. And as Q noted, nobody's going to win 10 individual immunities.
Right.
And Tim just kept responding with things like, the point is Nami. And, you know, he had already decided the plus one alliance wasn't real. And therefore, he refused to take it into consideration during their discussions.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, Tim, you're not flexible.
Yeah. Now, one thing that's interesting to me about Tim's focus on Hunter being a physical threat is going back to our preview podcast, you had mentioned it before. I had talked about that he had said something about seeing the cutthroatness challenges and swimming in the game. And in our podcast, I noted I was glad he at least listed cutthroatness first, but it worried me that he focused more on talking about like how he could really swim, the challenge aspect. And of course, what was he more focused on right here? Hunter and challenges.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and we don't, well, and I will say, I mean, Hunter has been doing a great job for sure.
Oh, yeah.
In the challenges, but I do think that him winning 10, probably not going to happen. And at some point, even the six would have to turn on each other. So you got to get a little bit farther down the road so you can start turning on people who are in your own alliance, because you do at some point have to look in instead of out.
Yeah. And if, let's say that Hunter did win a whole bunch between now and when they get to final six. Well, then it's kind of obvious who you got to get rid of.
Right. Yeah.
And so he should just, you know, presume that people will recognize that, or rather not just presume, but work to make sure people recognize that. Right. And, you know, but he, because he, again, I think it's because he just decided plus one wasn't real. And the other thing is, it's understandable he wouldn't want to vote out Ben, who was really the only other alternative to Hunter besides himself. He said in interviews that was never going to happen. But there's that problem, the word never. At other times, he correctly said this is an individual game. But when it came time to play as an individual, he refused to even consider turning on Ben. Now, I'm not sure it would have worked anyway, because Kenzie clearly preferred to keep Ben. But if Tim had made an effort and told Q he was okay with it, he might have saved himself.
Right. Yeah, no, I think, and well, we saw Q going back and forth between the two, changing his mind. So I do think that's very, very real potential.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving to Soda, what did you think of her flexibility?
Soda was great in this regard. She really was. And I don't just say that because she was my winner pick and I think she's lovely, but I do think that the mere fact that she was willing to continue to go back to Venus, but also understanding she needed to cut ties with Venus and trying to figure out the best way to maneuver that, I think she was definitely trying to be as flexible as possible. She wanted Tevin to be her number one. She was really, you know, trying to structure that. She was going to Hunter. So I do think that she was kind of keeping all of her options open and was willing to play with anyone. She even talked about people like Tiffany. She wanted to work with Tiffany, just hadn't really been able to flesh that out yet. So I think she really was looking outwards, really trying to build as many relationships as she could so she could play the game with particular individuals. So yeah, I think she was certainly willing to switch things up if she needed to.
Yeah, she told Dalton Ross, I was really playing an adaptable game. And you gave, you know, the perfect examples of that. The problem, she said, was that she was being flexible in the present while other players were thinking about the future. But she added, I think I was so focused on just being myself and being like, this is me in my sphere. I'm doing what I can with this, not necessarily thinking about all the other permutations going on in the back of my head. So while she was being flexible, she didn't consider how that would impact her game.
Right.
Which, again, is more of what we discussed in the second rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we can go to the fourth rule, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. We've already talked at length about Tim's focus on Hunter. And I do wonder if it almost became an emotional one. You know, Tiffany noted that while Tim talked about Hunter being a big threat, she felt it was really that he was thirsty to get a NAMI player out because a SIGA player was voted out last time. Now, it's hard to say if that was what was fully going through his mind, but that tunnel vision really did seem to go beyond just logic and strategy.
Yeah, he was really talking a lot about NAMI and really, I mean, where else is he going to look? Hunter's the only one there that's available from that group. But I do think that Tim was someone who put a lot more faith in a tribe as opposed to an alliance, if that makes sense. It was like, this is our tribe and this is who we are, as opposed to here's an option over there with some people from a different tribe, but we want to create like an alliance. He was much more, I'm about an alliance, or I'm not about an alliance, I'm about a tribe, and was focused solely on that. So I think that that did affect a lot of his decisions moving forward because it was very SIGA.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And because of that, there was, of course, his refusal to even consider taking out Ben, which, you know, that's more than just an ally situation. He considered Ben a good friend. And, you know, it's clear his emotions played a role there as well.
Yes, for sure.
Now, as for Soda, we saw and heard from her in interviews that she really did feel close to Venus as a friend, which is, you know, why she gave her the big hug after being voted out, which Soda noted in interviews probably confused some viewers. And yes, I heard from some of those viewers on Twitter. But as we've discussed, once she realized that her game depended on separating herself from Venus, she did it. Right. Now, clearly it wasn't enough for Tevin. And as she said, the seeds were already planted. But she made the correct move. She was like, okay, this person I'm friends with, but it's hurting my game. I need to pull apart.
Yes, and that is a great thing to be mindful of when you're playing this game, is that there are game decisions that need to be made regardless of how you feel in your heart and how you feel about a person. It's a game move. It's a game decision, which I think is probably why Soda was so impressed with Venus, thinking that Venus is the one that caused her to be taken out, because she can respect a game move and understand, even though she and Venus had a relationship and they were close, that that was better for Venus's game if Venus is the one that actually caused that to happen.
Yeah. Now, Soda said before the game that she wouldn't make emotional decisions, but would use emotions to get information. And I think she accomplished that from what we saw and heard. It just wasn't enough, or rather, it was part of being too much.
Yes.
So the fifth rule reminds players they need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. Tim seemed to do okay here, but as we've mentioned, he wasn't really super close to anyone in a way that would help him in the game. Yes, he had Ben, but despite what a few people seem to think, Ben does not actually appear to be a secret mastermind. You know, even the bond he had with Maria was somewhat confusing to Maria herself when it was revealed to her.
Yeah. And I think that Tim is someone who like gets along with everyone. And I said this earlier, like, I feel like he's someone just who people gravitate towards because it's just kind of natural. So he was socially fine, but there's a different level that you need to play when you're playing Survivor for that strategic social game to really come into play. And I think that Tim probably should have spent more time trying to build that type of social bond with the people that he was playing with, as opposed to just, as we said before, being kind of laid back about the process and just kind of letting it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Soda, on the other hand, had a ton of social game going on. We've discussed a lot of it already because it played so much into her strategy and also into appearances that she was doing too much. But she connected with Venus, Tevin, Hunter, and then more people when she got to the merge. Even after she tried to separate herself from Venus, she said she was still listening to her, nodding along, trying to help her. Quote, even when she was like snapping at me. She said in her interviews that Survivor is a relationship-based game, so she wasn't going to be aggressive in response to Venus, just hold her own and not let Venus talk to her in certain ways while being delicate about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that Soda was certainly gifted in her social interactions because, as I've already said, she did change her approach depending on who she was talking to, who she was dealing with, who she was playing with. And I think that, unfortunately, because her social game was so good, this is part of the reason why she got sent home, because she was someone else on her tribe has a great social game. And they were like, no, we can't. There can't be two of us, because having a really strong connection with so many people, we've talked about the idea that if you make it to the final three, if people just like you more than they like the person sitting next to you, if they think that you both played the same kind of game or both played a similar game, but I like her more, I get along with her better, I'm going to vote for Soda. And so that can definitely be a concern for people thinking about a final three.
Yeah, and that leads us perfectly to the sixth rule, which warns against being too much of a threat. We talked about how Tevin saw Soda as a threat in terms of potentially having too many other relationships. And while that was strategic in nature, it was rooted in the threat she posed socially. As Tevin told us on the show, she talks, and made people feel comfortable, so he couldn't read her. And Charlie added that Soda was an extremely social player, a big threat. Liz called her too dangerous when she was voting. And pretty much everyone told her how much they loved her after she was voted out, which was another symptom of her situation. She was seen as just too close to too many people.
Yes. Yeah. Which can be a huge threat to everyone. And then that's one of those threats that's not particularized, right? Like, even though Tevin is the one who's focusing on it more because that's very much like Tevin, you know, he's looking at Soda saying, that's me. But she's affecting everyone in the same way, because they're all thinking, if I sit next to her in a final three, that's going to be rough, because people are, they do like her, and she is likable, and she knows how to communicate and talk to people, and she's made connections and bonds. So that is across the board a threat for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Soda told Mike Bloom that even Jeff Probst mentioned someone like her is not someone he'd want in the game for long. But she thought she could feel things out and turn down the Soda dial if she needed to. The thing is, she needed to, but I don't think she realized it.
Yeah. And I do think that changing so much of yourself can be a very difficult thing when you're going out to play this game. And if that's just naturally who you are, I do think that it would be a hard thing to get away from. I think she did bring the dial down a bit, but when you are just that way, I think it's a hard thing to put away enough that people aren't going to notice it so much.
She had to put Soda in a box.
That's right. She needed to put Soda in a box.
For anyone who doesn't know what the reference is, that's what Jessica's family told her when she went out there.
Yeah. People in my office didn't even know what I was doing.
Oh, office, not your family. Yes. Okay.
They were like, just put Jessica in a box. Not even knowing what I was doing, but they were like, yes. So.
Now, going back to Tim in this rule, he set himself up as an even more obvious threat by flat out telling Q he wanted Hunter out. Q was the one who had proposed the plus one alliance and obviously was counting on its success, not to mention that he was also tight with Hunter, probably due to their Mississippi connection. Plus, he likely wanted to keep Hunter as a shield, which I had mentioned earlier. So as Tim was saying this to Q, he might as well have also just like written his own name on a parchment.
Q's name.
Yeah. No, Tim might have written his own name. You know, he was threatening literally Q's whole game plan.
And that's what I'm saying. He's also in a way saying, Q, I'm just going to vote you out too, because you're part of this whole.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. He was threatening to do that essentially, but it turned into, you know, writing his own name. And of course, for now, at least Q's plan also includes the other two Yanu. I don't know how much longer that will be, but for now, they're still all on board. So we can move to the seventh rule, which covers idols and advantages in game mechanics. And there wasn't much going on here for either Tim or Soda. Tim didn't even realize he was being framed for Jem for framed by Jem for supposedly having the beware advantage. And it never came into play anyway. I suppose it could be argued that one or both of them should have played their shot in the dark. And Soda even said that to Dalton, adding that she was as vulnerable as Venus was or Charlie was because of how many cracks there were on Nami. But I disagree. I think she's asking a little too much of herself there. Both of them.
She said she didn't feel it. She didn't sense it, anything that was going to be
so
wrong.
Why would
so there's
you?
No reason. Right. No reason to.
Yeah. Both of them believe they were in solid positions. If either of them, I would lean towards Tim maybe playing it because he had pushed so hard for voting out Hunter and he should have realized it wasn't happening. But even then, they clearly made him feel mostly comfortable. So, you know, I'd say both were fine here. All right. Well, we can move on to Appendix A, which is about the players keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And we talk about voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. We're at the point in the game where players should be targeting strong threats. And we discussed why that was the case for both of these players. But the first question is whether they were the right threats. After all, Tim kept trying to get his group to focus on the physical threat of Hunter. However, as we've already discussed at length, that wasn't the kind of threat that was important to the majority right now. As this appendix notes, alliances take precedence over such things, but Tim was taking and saying exactly the opposite thing.
Yes. Yeah, I think that he definitely should have just backed up and just kind of let things go. I don't think that Tim would have even been a focal point of this vote if he had just, when he talked to Q, was like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Right.
Because at this point in the game, if you know that you are at least part of what is potentially two alliances, right? You've got the six and then you do have Sega, even though you're going to lose one of your Sega members who you believe is your closest one, you're still in the game. So it's an uncomfortable, not fun situation to be in, but at the same time, you have options before you. And if you start trying to shift and change that dynamic too soon, which I think he definitely did and caused himself to be outed because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of consideration given to voting Ben. You know, Tiffany believes he's sneaky and, quote, a secret agent of chaos. Which I believe he said he's going to name his next album. She believes he's playing harder than he actually is. And there was also a secret scene for this episode in which Q evaluated every other player. And he also believes Ben is some master strategist like Tony. I think they're both seeing things that aren't there. And nothing against Ben. I just have seen nothing to indicate he is some strategic mastermind. He's a nice guy. The
perception is reality, right?
Right. And I mean, they could vote him out for it. And they would have, I think, if Tim had stepped up and said, no, vote me out instead. You know, so, I mean, yes, Kenzie bonded with him. We talked about that earlier. But I really do think if Tim hadn't done what he did, then it would have just been Ben.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. Now for Soda, I mentioned earlier that there was discussion in the RHAP post-game podcast about why Tevin wanted Soda out so bad. Rob said a few minutes later that Tevin was not focusing on the big picture and the survivor player should want as many options as possible. And so this goes to what you were saying earlier. I agree with the idea of options, but we've already spent a fair amount of time going over why Tevin didn't consider Soda to be a true option for him. We saw her allegiance to him from outside, but he didn't have access to that information and he could only go by what he was seeing.
Sure. But I also think we need to go back to the idea that because they're so similar in their approaches to the game and that social component, he could have definitely utilized her as a shield. We talk about meat shields all the time with, you know, people of strength and wanting to keep people around that are going to do better in an immunity challenge so people don't focus on you. And we saw that with Q, who's like, no, 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 we got to keep Hunter right. because that's probably part of it. I feel like Tevin is going to now find himself in a situation where he's putting a lot of faith in the six, which mm-hmm. is fine. But by doing that and by taking out Soda, he has now caused like that. They were talking about the cracks. Oh yeah, they're flooded at this point, and you know they're
is yes,
it's yes. I mean, there are no cracks anymore. The wall is gone. I mean, yeah. So I think that's definitely going to come back on him, as opposed to if they had set their sights on someone different. Like, I think even if you'd said, okay, well, it's going to be Venus, everyone would have been like, oh, well, that makes sense, you know, and right. they would have understood that, as opposed to they're going to see Soda gone and go, whoa. Like, people are playing. And so I think that's going to shine a lot of light on Tevin, because it is going to, I think, come out that Tevin was the one who was spinning this and talking about this idea of voting out Soda,
mm-hmm.
that it's likely going to come back to bite him.
Yeah, interesting. I do think there's a difference between a social game shield and a meat shield, because a meat shield is a lot easier to see. You know, you can look at them when they don't have their shirts on and you could be like, meat shield. Right. And, whereas a social game shield, everybody has to be on the same page that that's truly what's happening. And it's more complicated. It can work. I understand it. And I understand she said in interviews that I would have thought he would have wanted to keep me as that type of shield. But from his point of view, you're not a shield if you're potentially plotting against me.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and since, you know, it goes back to, he did not feel he could trust her.
Right.
He was wrong about that.
Yes.
At least for now. But again, he can only work with what he knows or what he believes.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now, Rob continued in that podcast that Tevin should have gone after Charlie, who is a SIGA member outside the Plus One Alliance. I think there were a few reasons not to do that. First, Tevin trusts that he's in an alliance with Maria, and I'm sure that if it came up, Maria would have pushed back hard. Now, we don't know if they did actually discuss it or not, so that part is more hypothetical. It's quite possible it never came up because Tevin had been waiting to get rid of Soda for a while now, ever since Nami... You know, I don't know how many weeks ago at NAMI, because they never went to tribal council.
Right.
I think it just built up and built up and built up. And, you know, once Tevin brought it up, Hunter and Liz were thrilled. They were totally on board with it. So,
right.
You know, I mean, Hunter saw Soda as competition for being close to Tevin. Liz might have seen the same thing, but also worried she could win it all if she wasn't stopped soon.
Yeah. And I that's why I feel like that social meat shield, I think, could have worked for Tevin, because I do think that Tevin is now going to be the focal point of NAMI, which what's left of NAMI at this point. And I do think that he's going to want credit for taking Soda out, which is not going to be necessarily beneficial to him, because then, like I said, people are going to start looking at him and realizing, mm-hmm. wow, he managed to take her out. Okay, what's the next move going to be that Tevin's going to make? And not for nothing, they don't know that Tim got voted out, right? So Tevin's idea of the six, well, that's out the window, right? Because one of the six is now not there. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's going to be very concerning for Tevin when they all come back together and he realizes, oh, snap, Tim's gone. I got rid of Soda. Things are going to shift and move and change. Tevin's very likable, and I think that he might be able to manage himself very well. But I think now he's going to be the one that a lot of people will be looking towards.
Yeah, it's possible. I still think from his point of view, he's going to believe that he did the right thing. What, you know, we'll see objectively.
Don't get me wrong. Yes, he's going to think that he did the right thing for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I do feel that I have to address something I've seen from some people on Twitter, and you've mentioned it already, that when Soda gave Venus credit for the vote, and we saw Tevin quietly be like, no. There were people on Twitter saying, Well, Tevin voted for Venus, so it couldn't have been his plan. So what? You know, you can organize a vote and still be the person who casts the backup or split vote, sure, which I'm sure is what happened here. Guarding against an idol or a shot in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have actually argued this with me on Twitter. And I just wanted to say to them the same thing Jeff said last week. Are you new? Yeah, I mean, Omer coordinated the mergatory vote on Survivor 42 when he didn't even have a vote.
Right. Yeah.
Are you going to say, oh, no, we don't credit him because he didn't have a vote? No, he got everybody together. Tevin did the same thing. We saw it. We saw it happen. And we also saw everybody saying, I don't care about Venus, whatever she says. The one part we didn't see was, which we never see almost, is the final decision. And I'm sure, you know, what happened was likely that Charlie and Maria, after having talked to Tevin and whoever else, went back to Venus and said, yes, we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Venus was probably like, ha ha, my plan is working.
Right.
You know, because, I'm sure she believed that she was the one who got Soda out. Because she, as I said last week, tends to see things only from her own perspective and isn't considering that there could have been other people involved.
Right.
And, you know, even last week, she tweeted that it wasn't luck that she stayed in the game instead of Mariah. But she made the necessary moves and promises to the right people to guarantee her spot in the merge, which we noted that we doubted. So in this case, I think the same thing happened. She believes, see, I pushed Maria and I told Charlie and we got everything turned around. And that was not at all what happened.
And it becomes really easy when someone else who's working with them is telling them the same thing. And they're like, oh, okay, this is great. We're all on the same page.
Right, right. I really don't think Venus realized how close she was to possibly getting voted out. You know, but once again, she scooted by as the lower threat. Which is why I said earlier, before we got to the rules, that I now think she may make it all the way to the end. I think she's going to keep scooting.
Scoot, scoot.
All right. Well, for the first time this season, we have Appendix B, which is about the jury phase, which, of course, we officially entered with Soda's vote. And don't get me started on how terrible it is that Tim did not end up on the jury because of how other people performed at the challenge. We were through that last season, so we don't need to talk about it again. Let's just say it's terrible. We hate it. But anyway, as far as Soda, I don't think anyone made any specific decisions based on wanting Soda in the jury. I do think Venus was all too happy to agree with Soda that she was the one responsible for getting her out, in part because she believes it, but also because, haha, look at me, I'm getting credit.
Right.
But I think, and you mentioned this earlier, basically, as more jurors join Soda and Ponderosa, the true story will reveal itself. And
yes, it will.
She will come to realize, that wasn't Venus.
Right. Yes. And then if Venus is in the final three, there will be that moment where she is being told it wasn't her that did this.
Well, where she says, I did this. All the way back to the Soda vote, I did that. And the whole jury is going to be like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. All right. Well, it is about time to wrap things up. So what are your final thoughts on Tim and your winner pick, Soda?
Oh, you have to say, I'm so sad, but it is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I never get my winner picks correct, but I will say that Tim and Soda, as you did indicate at the beginning, played much different games, but they both kind of created the games in which they were playing, if that makes sense, you know, where you've got Tim wanted to take more of a laid back approach and wanted to kind of allow things to happen. And I think really put too much faith and too much stock in Sega. Like, we are going to be a tribe and tribe strong, and this will carry us through. And when you agree to something in the game of Survivor, you have to recognize that if you don't follow through on that agreement, people will make note of that. And I think that's exactly what we saw happen with Tim. Tim said, yes, this is great. Plus one, plus six, whatever we're calling it at this point. But he agreed to that alliance because he thought, well, you know, we're here. laid back approach, right? I'm not going to put too much faith or stock in this, but it's going to get me through this conversation. And then whatever happens, happens. But it came back to bite him when immediately he wanted to target one of the six and caused Q to question Tim's alliance, Tim's approach, Tim's game. Everything about Tim became a question as far as Q was concerned. And we know that Q was with the other two individuals from his prior tribe. And so it was a whole lot of problems for Tim with not realizing he had a great opportunity presented to him, mm-hmm. but he decided, nah, that's not the path that I want to take. So I do think, unfortunately for Tim, that laid back approach doesn't work in Survivor. It might work in real life and it might work to your benefit, but in Survivor, you really need to have a plan and you need to stick with it. You need to have a backup plan and you need to have a backup plan of the backup plan. And you need to have an excuse and a reason as to why you're doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. as opposed to not telling people when they ask you a question straight up or telling people something just to tell them and make them go away for 5 minutes and then it's going to come back later. There's a lot of ramifications and ripple effects in Survivor, and I don't think Tim was recognizing those.
Yeah.
As for Soda, I think Soda also found herself in a situation where she wanted to play the game in the way that she actually was too. You know, Tim's more laid back. Soda is the life of where she goes. Whatever she's involved in, she's a social butterfly. She's making connections. She's making things happen. She is the doer in the situation. If there's a group project, she's going to lead the way. And I really think that that's what we saw Soda doing. And she tried to rein it in. She tried to pull it back a little bit and not be the focal point. But sometimes when that is your personality, as I think we saw with Tim, you just can't change certain things about yourself, even though you need to play Survivor and even though you need to be mindful of the game. I think Soda was mindful of the game she needed to play. And I think that she wanted to play a game that allowed her to be that social butterfly, but be Switzerland at the same time. Unfortunately, we have a Tevin. And when someone is essentially the same type of make, model, and character as you are, no, they can see what you're doing and they can read exactly what's happening. And Tevin saw that as a huge threat to himself, because she was making all of the connections he wanted to make and she was making all the inroads that he wanted to take. That's a problem for Tevin. And so Tevin decided, I need to put a kibosh on this right now. I need to stop her before she gets more traction and more people behind her. So I don't know if it's going to work out for Tevin, because I do think that he and Soda could have been a force to reckon with. And that would have been so much fun if both of our winner picks would have just like taken over. But unfortunately, she was my winner pick, not yours. And because she was mine, she got voted out. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, Tim and Soda made themselves into targets accidentally in slightly similar ways, but through opposite actions. Tim felt he had almost no real allies and wouldn't even accept the alliance that was dropped in his lap. He went out of his way to fight against it with the person who proposed it and who clearly still believed in it, because he was overly focused on Hunter being a challenge threat and Nami. He also should have realized that he couldn't absolutely hold on to Ben and refused to even consider sacrificing him. He should have picked up from those conversations just where Q really stood, but apparently was fooled into believing he had convinced them otherwise. Even in his final words, Tim said that while he, quote, technically lost, it was more than technically, but okay, he didn't have to fake and follow anybody else's game. He was a leader. And that's great. But this game isn't about who the leader is or who follows at this point. It's about getting to the end and winning. He led himself, but he led himself directly into their path as he was the target.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Soda was seen as having too many allies, to the point that those she considered closest felt they couldn't trust her because they didn't know what was actually going on inside her head. Soda said multiple times in interviews that she wasn't going to go down with the sinking ship of Venus. Unfortunately, she ended up going down instead of Venus, mm-hmm. who remains afloat in a life raft. Maybe if Tim and Soda had combined into one person, they would have hit the sweet spot. Not too many alliances, not too few. Being flexible enough to see other possibilities, but not so flexible that people thought they would make use of all those other opportunities. But that was not the situation. Each played their own game and made themselves into targets without realizing it. And that is why Tim and Soda lost.
I'm sorry, Soda. I'm sorry to you too, Tim, but I didn't pick you as my winner pick.
Yes.
So
Jessica didn't cause it for Tim.
Right. I was part of the ripple for Soda.
Yes. Mm. Okay. Well, before we get to predictions, which everyone should stick around for, I want to remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are now in poster and t-shirt form. So again, go to robhiswebsite.com/yxlostfeed. And then when they're done with that, they can find us on various places.
So many places, right? So I am at JessicaLewis89 on Twitter. I am also at JessicaLewis6789 on Instagram. I am much more active on Twitter. Not as much as I used to be. Lots of things going on in this girl's life. However, the guy sitting next to me, what did you call yourself? The hot podcasting dad?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Okay. He has so many social media connections. I don't know. Are you gonna branch out, create some more? I could say something inappropriate.
Maybe. I'm considering it.
So, David Bloomberg, why don't you show them all the places that they can find you?
Yes, I am all over the place. There are a few ways to track me down. You can find all my various accounts through my Linktree at Linktree/David Bloomberg with a dot before the EE in the URL for Linktree. Or you can find me on text-based social media, Twitter and Blue Sky as at David Bloomberg. On the video platforms, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram is at David Bloomberg TV. And because Threads is connected to Instagram, I'm at David Bloomberg TV there as well. On the various video platforms, I've been posting 2 or 3 videos per day. Right now, I'm posting, of course, clips from U.S. Survivor, plus other shows like Deal or No Deal Island and Amazing Race. So again, find me at David Bloomberg TV there. It's
everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So it's time for predictions. And see, here's the thing.
I'm bad at it. Yes.
No. Well, yes, but that's not what I was going to say. In our rush, due to a scheduling conflict to get this out a day early, as I scrolled down to my notes for the predictions, I realized that I forgot to make any in my notes. So I'm going to have to add.
So are you doing what I'm doing right now and trying to figure it out as you sit
yes.
here? Because that's what
yes.
I'm doing.
So next week in the preview, we saw Hunter hiding in a tree. And Q thought that Ben is the one like Tony. We see Liz getting mad, apparently, at Tevin. We say Q saying someone broke his rule because he's a mob boss.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff saying at tribal council that we've never seen anything like this. One prediction I have, you were talking about, how Tevin won't have a 6-person alliance anymore. He'll have a 5-person. I'm wondering with Tim gone, if Maria's going to step up and say, hey, how about bringing this Charlie guy in into the +1 alliance?
Well, that's what I was wondering, if someone mm-hmm. else is going to fill that void. And I do think that that makes sense because, I mean, I know Charlie is close with Ben as well, but mm-hmm. I do love the fact that we see Charlie just kind of maneuvering his
yes.
way through these very difficult situations mm-hmm. and places that he lands in the way that he's doing it because he has made social connections to certain individuals. And I do think that that's a really good call. I definitely could see that because Maria didn't seem to be like gung-ho with Tim, but mm-hmm. she's definitely gung-ho with Charlie.
So now the question is who's going to get voted out? And, I'm kind of thinking this through on the fly here. Not kind of. I'm totally
love
thinking
this
through on the fly. I could see Kenzie and Tiffany getting sick of Q. But the problem is it would require at least 1 or 2 people from Q's +1 alliance to turn on him.
Right.
I just don't see that happening, especially after Hunter knows how they saved him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Q is safe.
Yes.
I think
Tiffany
is safe. I think mm-hmm. Kenzie is not safe, even though I don't think Tiffany wants to vote her out. She may not have a choice. I think Ben is not safe.
I think Ben is definitely not safe.
Yeah. You know, Venus, I've already made my prediction of how far she goes. Charlie, I mentioned that I think he's going to be brought into the six.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, who's even left? You've got Tevin, you've got Hunter, you've got
Liz. Billionaire Liz.
Yeah. I mean, we see Liz getting mad at Tevin, apparently, which through Hibiki's law would indicate she's fine.
Right.
Even though we don't see any, I mean, sort of, we don't see anyone saying specifically that she's the one going. So I guess technically she's not. And by the way, speaking of Hibiki's law, congratulations to Christian Hibiki for getting tenure. So that's very nice.
Congratulations.
And while we're doing that, congratulations to Marianne for getting married. And
yes,
to
congratulations
Sifu for
on
having
that
a
too.
Baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Lots of survivor things happening out in the world.
And what the heck, congratulations to my son who listens to this podcast for getting engaged the other day. So,
yay!
Yes.
Congrats. So, that's so nice.
So now this is all my delaying tactic to get her.
I know, because I just want to say a name already.
I'm going to go with Ben.
Me too.
Okay.
Well, because I really do think that if you, and I tried to, you know, work through this last time with who's going to have who's back. And I just feel like there has been so much discussion about Ben and some concerns about the type of game he's playing. And he isn't going to have someone who's necessarily going to have his back, except maybe Charlie. But Charlie, I think, is smart enough to understand I got to cut my losses.
Yeah.
And if that's going to help me in the long run, well, then I'm sorry, Ben, I'm going to have to vote you out.
Yeah.
So I do think that Ben is not going to, he's not going to be playing a game like Liz, because I said the same thing about Liz, where no one's necessarily going to be fighting for Liz, but Liz has kind of just found a sweet spot where she's like, whatever you want me to do, it's fine.
Right.
But she's doing it in a different way where Tim was laid back, but still trying to like make moves and talk about things,
right,
but in a laid back fashion, whereas Liz is just like, oh yes, that makes sense. I see what you're doing there. So I just feel like it's going to be Ben as well. That's where my head is at.
All right. Well, then we can move on here. As we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhaswebsite.com/patron. You can get access to all the special podcasts that are put out just for patrons, plus the Facebook groups and Discord. And you can support shows like ours and everything on the network by becoming a patron at robhaswebsite.com/patron. Mm-hmm. And Rob announced that since this was episode several and Jelinski was mentioned again, he has reinstated the opportunity to join as a patron at the Jelinski level for $7 a month. So, you know, if you missed out on the first opportunity, another limited time opportunity to do that.
Here it is. And in the meantime, you can also buy a Jelinski shirt, apparently, because he's got merch now.
Yes. And Rob just put out a video saying that he believes this could all be a lead up to Jelinski returning for season 40 several. I was thinking the same thing. I mean, I never said it anywhere, but I was thinking the same thing.
That's pretty funny.
Nothing against Jelinski. He would not have been the first one that I picked for all the first boots, you know, who have come in the new era.
Right, right.
But he certainly has made an impact. So
he certainly has. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting for sure.
In the meantime, you can make sure you're subscribed to all of the reality TV Rehapups podcast by going to robhaswebsite.com/rehapups feeds, selecting your podcast service of choice. You'll get this podcast, which obviously you're already getting.
Of course.
Plus the B&B, Survivor International, podcasts from a bunch of other shows. Big Brother Canada is on there, many other shows and topics. So again, that's robhaswebsite.com/rehapups feed.
And we would like to thank everyone, including Scott St. Pierre, who does all of the editing, not for only this podcast, but all of the Rehab Up content that you do see and hear and love. So thank you so much, Scott, for all of the work that you do. And thank you to everyone who helps Scott in that regard, and everyone, including Rob, for all of the incredible work that you do and the content that you put out for Rehab. So thank you so much for that. And thank you, David, for keeping this like under 2 hours. How did we do that?
I don't know. I think it's because they weren't vastly different. We didn't have to go into deep dives into each of them.
Sure.
You know, and so, you know, we just had to pick and choose our points of interest a little bit.
Well, and I appreciate you not giving me too much slack for losing my winner pick.
I would never, ever do that.
Oh, no, never.
No, never.
Not like you would put it on Twitter or anything. Be like, no, oh, never. Look at that. Snap.
I only responded when you pointed it out. I'm just saying. So, well, yes. Thank you, Jessica, for another great episode and adjusting your schedule and everything else. So, we will be back next week. And who knows? Maybe it'll be Ben. Maybe we'll both be wrong. It's been known to happen before. Until then, we'll see you around. Bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.